Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi there, everybody listening. This is Sally Kirkland back again on Monday, July 1st. Kevin Masterson, is it July 1st?
That's right, it is. It's July 1st,
yeah.
2024.
So Kevin Masterson is here. He's like my best male friend, my best friend in the male genre. And I'm so happy you're here today, Kevin. I know you did this a while back. What we can do today is just interview each other about whatever comes to our minds, and that would make me happy.
Okay, you said fun.
On the break that we should mention Sally Woods, so I'll start off by saying I've just done this movie that's my favorite role since 1988, the film Anna, which won a lot of awards. And already, Sally Wood has run 10 awards, and the audiences are loving it. It's about me, but it's also fictional as well. And tell me what you liked about it, Kevin.
For one thing, I like the topics that it deals with. You know, like Zach had said at the screening, Zach Gruber, the director, that it deals with ageism. Zach had said, and it's true, that ageism is the only acceptable form of discrimination left. And to just, you know, squarely address that, and as to how people will just make assumptions about someone based upon their age. And that's what prejudice is. It's prejudging something. And I think he did a really good job of that.
Right. His name, the filmmaker, is Zach Gruber. He comes from Florida and Maine. And he, when he was younger, when he was a little boy, somehow he got a hold of a DVD or cassette tape of Anna, my movie, and fell in love with the actress Sally Kirkland and made his way to Hollywood when he was older to find her. And then he does find me in an art gallery, and I immediately hire him as my assistant. And so it's a story about a movie star and her assistant and the ups and downs of that relationship, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, exactly. And navigating Hollywood together.
Yeah. He being from a generation much younger than me, and me, as Kevin said, dealing with ageism. But it's by far my best role in all these years, 40 years or something, or 30-something years. And we're it's wait and see right now for who's going to buy it and distribute it. But the feedback has been incredible from people in the industry. And Kevin and I were at a screening the other day where 14 members of our church, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, were there supporting it and loving it. And it was such a high experience. Very funny film. Pete Hammond, who is the top writer at Deadline, his two words were hilarious and smart, which is a nice feedback quote there.
My favorite quote about it. Go ahead.
What's that, Kev?
I was going to say my favorite quote about it was when Jennifer Tilly said, "No one can play Sally Kirkland better than Sally Kirkland."
And what does that mean to you?
She said that when she had gotten the script, she thought they wanted her to play you. And she said, "I'd love to play Sally Kirkland." And they said, "No, you know, Sally Kirkland is playing Sally Kirkland. We want you to play Zach's mother." And she said, "Oh, okay." And then she said, "And I saw no one can play Sally Kirkland better than Sally Kirkland."
Yeah. There's a lot of self appreciating humor there in the film, where I kind of do a spoof on myself. But I'm so happy people are loving it, and I hope anyone listening to this will watch out for it. This show, as we all know, goes to 135 countries. So wouldn't it be great if Sallywood made it to 135 countries? Because it has that kind of international, funny human quality to it that you can appreciate it no matter who you are, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I like what you said about the self-deprecating humor as well, because there's a famous quote by Ethel Barrymore. It says, you grow up when you have your first laugh at yourself.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Isn't that a great quote? I love that.
Yeah.
You know, because the tendency can be a lot of times.
I actually met her when I was a kid.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, in New York.
Why am I not surprised?
And other members of her family. I ended up teaching acting to Drew Barrymore at the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute. But I was always fascinated by that family. And, of course, Sean Barrymore being the heartthrob actor of his day. Ethel Barrymore. Thanks for telling me that. Well, what's going on in Kevin's world?
In my world, at the moment, I'm just trying to stay cool. I mean, things are, you know, have slowed down right now because it's the dregs of summer. But, I'm just spending a lot of time out by my pool or in my pool. Or I got to make a big pitch here for saltwater pools. I changed my pool to saltwater a couple years ago. And,
really?
Oh, my God, there's nothing like it. It's
really?
It's so refreshing, yeah.
Wow.
It's so much cleaner. It's so much nicer. You just, you know, it's almost like, you know, like you get negative ions from, you know, from trees and from nature. I swear it does the same thing because it's so calming to be in there. It feels so
good.
How
great is that?
Yeah.
You have to get me over there and swim in it.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. You're always welcome.
Okay, honey. It seems like Burbank is a country away.
It's not that far away.
I know. I'm going to talk to you and eat breakfast at the same time.
Okay. No, what are you having for breakfast?
Beef, potatoes, cauliflower. I belong to an organization that delivers me food every day. Meals on Wheels.
Oh, that's great.
And I pay them a certain amount, and then I don't worry about paying them for a long time. And every day, a woman named Grace arrives at my door. She arrived about 20 minutes ago with a hot meal, you know.
Yeah.
Of fruit. Lots of fruit.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I mean, like, that's the, you know, as we talked yesterday, what do we talk about? You know, what should we talk about? You know, it's like I've really seen since the pandemic how important community is and what that actually means.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, them caring for you and caring enough to check on you every day, that's the essence of what community is.
Yeah.
So I just think that's wonderful.
Yeah, they're great. They're young, you know, and they come by every day between 9 and 10. Great food.
Yeah.
Well, you've been my community for 40 years, 30 years?
No, 30-something.
Hmm. And I imagine I won't live past 102, and you'll be 82.
Yeah, so you've got some time to go. We both have some time to go.
I can picture you up on stage doing a eulogy and telling funny stories about me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's many to tell. As I told you at your birthday a couple of years ago, I've never experienced a dull moment with you.
Say that again?
I said I've never experienced a dull moment with you.
Oh, thank you. We're a good team.
You know, I want to give a shout out to Kevin McMillan for yesterday when you weren't able to make it to our, you know, our conference here, our annual conference last year for the movement of spiritual inner awareness, that he went over to, you know, to spend time with, because that's community. That's caring. And they both begin with a C, you know, and to just go there and, you know, make sure you could, you know, you're able to watch it and everything and just spend time with you. I mean, I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, it sure was.
Go ahead.
No, I just had my two Kevins.
Yeah.
You and Kevin.
It's interesting. I remember a friend of ours, Polly, had said to me that one time she was out, you know, and she facilitated so many big workshops and stuff for the movement, and she was out walking or something one day, and some boy, and it felt like he lost it. His dog got away from him or something. She held and kept the dog. And she said she felt so good afterwards. And she said to Jared, she said, you know, I get the same feeling of service and of, you know, of being of service to somebody by helping that boy out is what I get from, like, doing these huge, you know, workshops and spending all this time and energy. And he said it's the same thing.
Right.
You know, and it is just those little acts of kindness, you know, go so far, in my opinion. You know, just that moment to see and acknowledge, you know, another person, you know, is really, that's priceless. Like, that's really the value of, you know, it doesn't have to be some big grandiose thing, but just by treating people right, that's what service is, that's what ministry is, that's what spirituality is. If we all did that more, the world would definitely be a much better place.
Yeah. I've noticed as I've gotten older that I sometimes have trouble getting on and off the curb or getting across the street. I'll look at some guy next to me, young guy, and say, will you hold my arm? And they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm living in West Hollywood. It is a community.
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely is.
36 years. So tell me. I know you've told me before, but this is a new audience. Tell me how you discovered John Roger.
JR, I first heard about through a friend of mine who was doing a play, and she was writing a play about James Dean. Her name was Linda Harrison, and she told me about J.R. And at the time, my dad had just died, and, you know, I was, like, checking all sorts of different spiritual things out. And she told me about J.R. and, you know, just, to, you know, about getting initiation and all this stuff, you know, and it's like something just resonated with me. And it took me a little while to, you know, but probably about a year and a half to actually come around to doing anything, but she'd play a seminar once in a while. And then I'd seen you being interviewed when you got nominated for the Oscar and talking about Sharon. And I thought, you know what? You know, she's, you know, I'd had a lot of challenges in my life at that point. And you talked about how the challenges you'd had and how Jared helped. I think, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. If she was in such dire straits like me, it's like, and it worked, if she's nominated for an Oscar, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And so I went, and I'd gotten $10 in the mail from my mother for, I think, a St. Patrick's Day. And I went, and I signed up for discourses. And I started studying with J.R. then. And then it was interesting, in the time leading up to that, I kept, like, things just kind of kept falling into line, you know, pointing me towards JR, because I'd heard from Linda, and I've heard other people say this as well, and I think I actually even heard JR say something about it, that usually, you know, about 10 years or so before you actually meet him, you know, you hear about him somehow. And I'd gone home for Christmas that year, and I picked up this book that I'd read when I was, like, in the 9th or 10th grade in high school, called Whatever Happened in the Class of 65, and I opened it to a page, and there was an interview with our dear departed friend Mark Holmes, and Mark was talking about J.R. And I was like, oh my God, I read about J.R. all those years ago. You know, I came home, I opened the book right to that page.
Uh-huh.
This is just kind of meant to be. And when I got my soul initiation, Mark was actually one of the people that did it. So It was just, you know, like a complete circle. You know, it's just such a sense of completion. You know, everything had really come full circle.
You told me a story once about you and JR the first time you physically...
The first time I met him?
Yeah.
I was doing volunteer work for... I think it was the Institute for Individual and World Peace. Like, they used to... I think they actually paid me. Like, I'd go in there and I'd help. I'd type checks. And I type pretty well, but, like, numbers, I never really learned how to type, you know, to numbers without having to hunt, you know, have to look at them and do it. So I was typing the check, and this, you know, I was a little bit intimidated by JR. And at that point, I'd been around, I don't know, maybe 6-8 months. And people always like, oh, JR was just here, and I never saw him. And I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, well, I guess, you know, I shouldn't be afraid of him. You know, he started all these organizations and stuff. I guess, you know, I shouldn't be scared of him. You know, I guess he must be, you know, somewhat kind, you know, and somewhat benevolent. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I was sitting there typing a check, and this little kind of like cherubic man came up behind me and said, you're not going to, you know, it's going to take you a long time if you get a type like that. And I turned around, I looked at him, and he said, what's your name? I said, I'm Kevin. I said, who are you? And he said, I'm JR. You know what I mean? Because I'd only seen him from a distance.
Right.
You know, and like, you know, and that was like basically the first exchange. And it's like, you know, he just, I don't know if he shook my hand or I don't think he hugged me that time. But it was just like, that was the first interaction with him. I mean, actually, I might have been so intimidated that I didn't even, I might have just said hello. But I remember leaving after that and feeling like, when I went home, I felt really good, like I'd met Santa Claus.
Wow.
You know, it just felt really happy.
Mm. Did you get the Tawajiri?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got it. I remember getting it that day, and there were different times, like, throughout the years where he'd be leaving the seminar or coming into the seminar, and he would turn, he would look right at me. You know, like, it was like... It was really something, you know. Used to remind me, you know, I had a couple experiences like that with him where I don't remember that old TV show Bewitched, but there'd be, yeah, she would be casting a spell, basically, and everything would freeze. And, you know, it would just be her and whoever she was talking to. Like, I felt that a couple of times, like, sort of like everything was still, and he was just speaking to me directly.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, I just tuned everybody.
The
everybody else was just tuned out.
For those who don't know, it's Sanskrit for the gaze of God. Yeah. That was part of my ministerial blessing from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you told me that. Yeah, mine has basically the essence of that as well. You know, my mind talks about smiling through your eyes.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So when we go home to God, JR, I'll be there to hug us, receive us.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting yesterday that they were talking about at the seminar about the keys and what are the keys and all this. And I don't, you know, for me, I get very... Like, I don't really relate a lot to a lot of words, you know, and mm-hmm. John Morton had mentioned that yesterday about what J.R. used to say about he could just say ham and eggs and he would still get it
right. Because
it wasn't about the words, it was about the energy. And people kept saying, you know, the keys and, you know, what are the keys and, you know, just all you know, it was all these words, it was very verbose. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know, my keys are, you know, like, I don't really remember much of what J.R. ever said other than, be loving, you know, take care of yourself, you know, use everything to your advancement and be, you know, laugh and be, you know, have, you know, be joyful. And it's those are my keys. You know, it's like it's simple. You know, like I don't really want to carry a lot of thought around in my head.
Yeah. We were so lucky to be with him while he was alive.
Yeah.
Because from my point of view, there hasn't been anyone with his energy on the planet since Jesus. And that's, what, 2,000 years?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, like a lot of what he taught, though, which, you know, I think people tend to misinterpret this with spirituality anyway, is that it is inside. It may happen inside. He always would point us back in that direction. And that's kind of what I experienced yesterday. I thought, well, you know, the thing of, like, where two or more gathered, I am there. That's why community and connection is so important. Because
I'll hold that thought,
that,
Kevin.
Okay.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with more of that.
Our sponsor today has been the Church of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. The purpose of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, MSIA, is to teach soul transcendence, which is becoming aware of yourself as a soul and as one with God, not as a theory, but as a living reality. MSIA offers an approach to living that focuses on how to incorporate spirituality into your everyday life. We call it practical spirituality. You can reach MSIA by going into the web on www.msia.org or phoning area code 323-737-4055 and asking to be on the free mailing list. You can also go into your web and find out events, prayer lists, latest news, and any books and tapes available. God bless you. Another of today's sponsors is the Institute for Individual and World Peace, otherwise called IIWP, or IWIP, in Los Angeles at 2101 Wilshire. We have many workshops and seminars related to the subject of individual and world peace. I, Sally Kirkland, feel that at this time of war in the Middle East, that nothing is more important than all of us working on our individual peace so we can help world peace.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi there, this is Sally Kirkland back with Kevin Masterson, and we were talking about community.
Yeah, you know, as I was saying before, like, I really started, like, since the pandemic, like, having more of an understanding of what community was, because it's like we just kind of took it for granted, you know, before the pandemic, and then having to be so isolated, then community was all online. But for me, that doesn't work so well. I mean, I think you're kind of the same way, Sally. You're like a touchy-feely person. It's, you got to be in person. And like, I went to a party for somebody, for a friend, Lori Mattson. And when I got there, like, everybody was so glad to see each other. And it was just like, it felt like I felt that sense, like I got what it was, you know, like it's, oh, that's that feeling I used to have when we would all see each other. And that, you know, that saying, you know, where two or more gathered, I am there. And it's like, okay, this is really the essence of what J.R. talked about, you know, was loving and, you know, caring, like being there for each other. And just having that in person, you know, it really was great. And, you know, it opened my heart back up. And it's like, for me, it's just not the same experience to just be doing it on Zoom. You know, to actually be in person and being able to, like, you know, physically touch somebody and look in their eyes and,
hugs,
you know, listen to them. Excuse me?
Hugs.
Yes. You know, hug them and to just, you know, hear the timbre of their voice and the expression on their face, to just, and really be present there's nothing else like that for me. You know, and they call me old fashioned, but it's like, I don't think virtual, you know, or whatever could ever, you know, quite replace that. Because actually, you know, the, you know, we're in a physical form for a reason. And
yeah,
that's why it's important to be with each other.
Yeah. Well, we're very lucky to have the movement of spiritual inner awareness, which was 5,000 people when John Roger was alive. I don't know if it's that many now.
Yeah.
But we have Sean Morton, who inherited the keys to the consciousness, the mystical traveler consciousness, which is really the Christ consciousness. And I guess this will go on a long, long time.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting from what John spoke about yesterday. I think, for me at least, a lot of what I took from it is, you know, as I said, like, we all have the keys inside of us, and it's like, just by being loving, that's really what it's all about, and that's how it spreads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not limited to people that, you know, however many people are in MSA now, it you know, it's everybody in the world, and it's recognizing that, and and allowing and accepting everybody's path to God. You know, because as JR used to say, you know, not one soul will be lost.
Right.
You know, I mean, I always, whenever I converted to Judaism, you know, it's like I thought that was like, it really resonated with what JR taught. It was like the first thing that the rabbi said the first night of the class I took on Introduction to Judaism, he said, you know, the fundamental teaching of Judaism is that, you know, all human life has value.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, and that goes right along with, you know, not one soul will be lost.
Right.
You know, everybody has an inherent value in them.
Right. Yeah. And the key is for everybody to know it about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and it's also in how we treat each other as well. You know, I think that, you know, makes us more conscious of that. You know, that, yeah, to see, you know, to see other, to, you know, to see other points of view, and to just, you know, be aware of each other's pain and each other's joy, and to also to just recognize, you know, to just recognize the inherent value in ourselves. You know, sometimes that can be a challenge depending upon how we grew up. But ultimately that's, you know, that's where liberation comes from.
Right.
Is learning that lesson.
Right. I was very lucky when I was a little girl. My father was usher in the Presbyterian and Episcopalian churches that he belonged to. And so he had me go to Sunday school. And there'd be all these stories about Jesus. And so I just felt that everybody had that contact with Jesus. Little did I know that I was lucky, you know, to be in Sunday school and church every week, starting at 5 years old, you know. And my mother was an atheist. Didn't believe in God at all. She said she believed in the soul, but she didn't believe in God. So I said, but Mom, the soul is God. It's okay. And my father was just totally by the book, you know, from when he was a child. And he went to St. Paul's School, which is very Episcopalian. Then he went to Harvard, which I think was also Episcopalian. But he constantly put that in my awareness so that I had, to use your word, the community of that, you know, of people who would share that with me, church and Sunday school and all that, the choir, many, many years of singing in the choir, also, honestly, I don't know what I would do without Jesus Christ, so important in my life. and seeing the Christ in everybody's eyes, you know, when I look. Yeah. So, any movie auditions happening for you?
At the moment, no. The last one I had was about a week or two ago. And it's for a political thriller.
Uh-huh. So you've been acting about 30 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've been acting...
Excuse me?
I was going to say, I've been acting 64 years.
Wow. You got me beat by a long shot.
Yeah. Well, we already figured out that you're my spiritual son.
Mm-hmm.
You and Cody Galloway. I when I was a little girl, people would say, "What do you want to be when you grow up, Sally?" And I said, Mary, as in Mother Mary. And they said, "What?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'd like to be like St. Joan and Mother Mary and Jesus." And they said, "But that's swearing. You're making fun of them." I said, no, that's what I want to be." And then there was a long pause, and I'd say, "A movie star?" And they'd say, "Oh, yes, that's great." True story. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be right back with Kevin.
Another one of our sponsors today has been Spiritual Warrior, The Art of Spiritual Living, a wonderful book written by John Roger, a New York Times number one best-selling author. This is put out by Manifold Press, and about the book, John Bradshaw says, "Spiritual Warrior is a life-changing book. John Roger echoes my own intense desire to preserve spiritual focus in a world filled with distraction and anxiety. I welcome his crystal-clear light on the pathway of self-discovery. I found the words of a wise, practical man in Spiritual Warrior." You can access this by going into www.spiritualwarrior.org or phoning 323-737-4055 and asking for the shipping department, or ask in your local bookstore. God bless you. Our sponsor today has been Peace Theological Seminary, a sister organization of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. Peace Theological Seminary offers classes on the web. If you call 323-737-4055 and ask for PTS, they can put you on a free mailing list and explain the various classes that are offered, including classes in forgiveness, abundance, service, and many other subjects. Please, please, please call 323-737-4055 and ask for Peace Theological Seminary and ask to be mailed all of the available information. God bless you. Our sponsor today has been the Church of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. The purpose of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, MSIA, is to teach soul transcendence, which is becoming aware of yourself as a soul and as one with God, not as a theory, but as a living reality. MSIA offers an approach to living that focuses on how to incorporate spirituality into your everyday life. We call it practical spirituality. You can reach MSIA by going into the web on www.msia.org or phoning area code 323-737-4055 and asking to be on the free mailing list. You can also Go into your web and find out events, prayer lists, latest news, and any books and tapes available. God bless you.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio on the Web.
Hi there, this is Sally Kirkland, if you're just tuning in, with my bestie, Kevin Masterson. And we have been talking about the importance of community and finding your community and building your community and making sure you have one, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I don't think there's any better, like, antibiotic, any sort of anything, you know, any sort of spiritual nutrition or anything more important than community. And as I was saying on the break, like, JR always had this quality. Like, I always felt, you know, like, yeah, you know, people would, you know, kind of like relax and just fall asleep and like soul travel, whatever. You know, JR seminars, and to me, it's like that's when I feel like I'm in the right place, is when I feel that comfortable that I can just nod off.
Right.
And as I was saying to you, there's an expression in Yiddish that a friend of mine had told me a while ago, and several friends of mine have told me, and, you know, and it's called Hamish. And Hamish means, like, welcoming or homey. You know, you feel comfortable.
Right.
And to me, like, I know I'm in my community, I'm with my people when I feel welcome, when I feel, you know, homey, when I feel like, yeah, I could just, like, fall asleep right here, no one, you know, and I'm safe, no one would care.
Right, right.
You know, I can let my guard, you know, because to me that's a sign I can let my guard down.
Yeah. How do you spell that word?
I'm pretty sure it's just like it sounds. I think it's H-A-M-I-S-H, but I'm not sure. It's a Yiddish word.
Yeah. Nice. My godmother, self-appointed, was Shelley Winters, the actress. And she always had a community with her of younger people. We all felt at home, Hamish with her. She's in heaven now.
Yeah, I remember all the funny stories about her from her memorial.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think we can, you know, it's like we look for, you know, people that are Hamish, and we, you know, that the also the thing to do is to be Hamish with other people, to be welcoming and accepting.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, I'd heard this when I'd taken my introduction to Judaism class, and I thought, oh, this, like, really, like, shifted the way I began to deal with people in the world, because, like, when my feelings get hurt, there's a psychologist, I'm not sure, I think it's Martin Berber or Berger, I'm not quite sure of the spelling on the last name, but he was a psychologist, I think, back in the 1920s, and he talked about there were two types of relationships that we have in life. I-thou relationships, which is like you and me, you know, we're intimate, we're friends, we're close.
Right.
Or
right.
I-it relationships, which are transactional relationships. Like you go, the example they gave in the class was, you know, you go to the bank and, you know, you fill out a withdrawal slip and the teller gives you cash. You know, you take money out or put money in. That's a transaction. You know, there's really nothing personal about it. You know, like an ATM transaction kind of thing. And I realized, like, well, you know, we were talking, you know, during the class, and I said, I approach every relationship like it's I-thou, you know, like no matter who it is. You know, if I'm at the store, if I'm at the bank, you know, whatever, when I'm in contact with someone, I always see them as a person. I don't see them as a transaction. However, not everyone does that. And so then what I started to see from that is like, oh, okay, they don't do it that way. You know, they just see this as a transaction. And it was great because then my feelings stopped being so hurt. You know, when it's like, okay, well, they, you know, they're just in a different place. You know, they see things differently. And so it's like before that, when people wouldn't, you know, they'd see it as a transaction and they wouldn't be warm and fuzzy, and I would be very hurt by it. And then I realized, like, okay, it's nothing personal towards me. That's the way they function.
Right.
And it took a lot of it took the hurt, the rejection out of it.
Right. Right.
You know, but yeah. By being able to be more Hamish and to be, more, where we see other people, regardless of what the relationship is with them, that makes it for a more enjoyable experience to me. And I also think, it brings out a humanity. Like during the pandemic, I remember, like everything happened so quickly and, it was like going to 12-step stuff online and people were just talking, like everyone was freaked out. No one knew what to, and I thought, this was my prayer for myself, like during the pandemic. God, let this bring out the best in me.
Yeah.
And in everyone else. I mean, that part I can't control, but and that's where I would always try to go. I remember being right after the pandemic started and I was waiting in line at a, to go place. And this woman in front of me, she felt I got a little bit too close to her and she snapped at me. And
right.
I was ready to snap right back at her. I thought, no, let this bring out the best of me. So I'm sorry. And I just backed up.
Yeah.
It's like, it seemed like she was angry and she was looking to find conflict. But I thought, that's not where I want to go.
No.
And I was able to acknowledge what I felt and not suppress it. And I also didn't have to take the bait, and go there with somebody else.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking as you're talking that it reminds me of the Hindu part of myself.
Uh-huh.
Satya, which means truth. Swami Satya Dhananda named me Satya. But the thing he taught me the most was to be sweet. To be sweet.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be. I think there's a lot to be said for that. During the pandemic, I would go to 12-step meetings online, and there was one woman that was in the meetings, and I would just she'd share. I had no idea what she was talking about because she's very esoteric, and other people would be like, "Oh yeah, I just love what you said," blah blah blah, and they just love this woman, and I couldn't figure out why. I was like, well, she doesn't say anything that makes any sense. And I was just stunned. It's like, because other people say stuff be really insightful, whatever. And she just was very cosmic and kind of all over the place in, my experience. And then she said something one day, and she said, if anyone, needs help, they need to talk, I'm putting my number down in the chat. You can call me at any time. And then I realized right then, she's kind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're resonating with. She's kind. And it shifted, what was most important to me, and to just really to look at things differently is that, whenever I meet someone, it's like, are they kind? Like that's the most important thing to me now.
Right.
And it's like it was that simple, because before, are they intelligent? Are they this? Are they that?
Yeah.
Kindness is the most important thing.
Right. I agree with that. We're going to take another short break, and then I think we have one more segment.
We'll come back for the finale.
As well.
Our sponsor today has been the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. I, Reverend Sally Kirkland, give introduction tape, video, and audio seminars with the teachings of John Roger and John Morton. I can be accessed by your going into www.sallykirkland.com and emailing me or calling 323-650-2215. Welcome, and please find us. Another one of our sponsors today is the book The Tao of Spirit by John Modger and Mandeville Press. I'm looking at a quote on one page of the book of Lao Tzu's that says, without going outside, you may know the whole world. And a quote of John Rogers, don't let yourself get confused when you have depressions, anxieties, and frustrations that you're sitting anywhere less than in the presence of the Lord. This is a book that may also be accessed via the web, www.msia.org, and then going into Mandeville Press and asking about the book, The Tao of Spirit, or calling 323-737-4055. Our sponsor today has been Peace Theological Seminary, a sister organization of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. Peace Theological Seminary offers classes on the web. If you call 323-737-4055 and ask for PTS, they can put you on a free mailing list and explain the various classes that are offered, including classes in forgiveness, abundance, service, and many other subjects. Please, please, please call 323-737-4055 and ask for Peace Theological Seminary and ask to be mailed all of the available information. God bless you. Insight Seminars. Do you have the life you've always wanted? Do you have love, joy, confidence, success, and happiness? Are you as effective in creating what you want as you would like to be? We have ongoing seminars in Southern California and worldwide. Please go into www.insight.org or call 310-315-9733. As a graduate and a former facilitator of Insight 4 for 18 years, I can only say, do yourselves a favor. Do it.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hi there again. This is Sally Kirkland and Kevin Masterson. On the break, we were talking about the importance of laughter. And I remember a quote, and I don't know whether it came from John Roger or from Winston Churchill, I'm kidding, but laughter is the quickest way to God. Yeah.
That's a good one. I don't know who said it, but that's definitely a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had that experience, you know, with JR quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, and JR was like always able to mix the comedy and the drama because, you know, you got to be able to laugh and you got to experience both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Like, as we both remember, we were both there that infamous day at conference when Betty Bennett was there, you know, basically
and
taking
she came
in there
on
a hospital. Yeah. And Jerry said to Betty, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be dead.
I arranged for that entrance of hers. One of my little ministries, I brought Betty into the movement right after her son was pronounced dead from drugs. And, she called me up and she said, I'm going to go to Santa Monica Beach and drown myself in the ocean. And I said, well, before you do, did I tell you the story? I called this number and she thought
I was giving
her a lawyer for her last rides or whatnot. And I gave her JR's number and JR answered the phone before she even opened her mouth and said, hello, Betty, I've been waiting for you. Your son passed a saint. He may have looked like a drug addict, but spiritually what was happening was he was a saint. And boy, did that change her fast from wanting to kill herself. Amazing. she was the one that knew I was dying when I was dying from a drug overdose, and went to every hospital in New York trying to find me, and then she did find me, got up in my room and screamed at me, yelled and screamed that I couldn't do that. And in the morning when I came to, the doctor said, "Who is Betty?" And I wrote on a piece of paper, "Betty loves me more than anybody." It said, "Well, you have her to thank for your being alive." Yeah.
Yeah, and she knew how to laugh.
What's that?
Betty knew how to laugh. Like, she had that New York Jewish funny sense of humor. Very quick.
Yeah. Well, she's up there with John Roger shining down on us. I do believe if you stay open to it, that these souls can communicate to us from the other side.
Yeah, like on the other side of it too, I was just thinking, whenever I was during the pandemic, I was in like an online grief support group for a while because I'd had so many losses. And it's run by a man named David Kessler, who worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and I'd never heard the word before. I knew what it was when it happened, but I'd never had a word for it, you know, but I knew the experience of it. And he would talk about with grief, that grief needs to be witnessed. And, you know, we do witness each other. And, you know, witnessing isn't, for me, it isn't so much what we say, but just, you know, like in the movement they say holding for somebody is to just truly be present for somebody else and to just, you know, share your experience. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think I told you yesterday when I was leaving, I was talking to our friend Heidi Banks, and like Heidi said to me, she said, "I really love you. I just want you to know I think about you a lot and I really love you." And like that meant so much. It's like that was worth, you know, driving all the way over there and spending the whole day there and, you know, eating food that wasn't so good and in the chairs that weren't that comfortable and being hot and being, you know, whatever. Yeah. It was worth it just for that, you know, to feel seen and to feel loved. And that's what, you know, JR was able to do and demonstrate to us, you know, so masterfully with so many people. And it doesn't, as I said before, it, when he said that, you know, he told Polly that it can just be a simple act of kindness. That's what we do for each other. And that's, we just saw him demonstrate that with so many people. And when we can witness each other's joy, witness each other's heartache, you know, witness each other's triumph, whatever it is, just by being able to be there for somebody else, that's what God is to me. You know, that's what community is, and that's what it means for not one soul to be lost. Like in Judaism, there's a verse in the Siddur, which is the prayer book, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but it talks about, you know, there's always, you know, we're always, basically the essence of it is we're always coming out of Egypt. There's always a better place. And, you know, we get there by walking, you know, there's a promised land, we don't know where it is exactly, maybe, but we get there by walking hand in hand, joining hands and walking together.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my apologies for, like, not, for butchering the whole context of it, but that's the essence of it, was, you know, joining hands and walking together. That's what community is.
Yeah. Martin Luther King joined hands with so many and walked.
Yes, he did.
Gandhi. Same. The British soldiers dropped their guns, their swords. And Gandhi just had the sword of truth and love.
Yeah, you know, and so much of it, because this just made me, because I don't think I've ever told you this about my parents. I told this to my theatrical manager the other day. And she said, "Well, your parents are really progressive." But it's like they were very, like, I never knew what prejudice was, because my parents were very accepting, and it wasn't like they taught me don't be prejudiced. They demonstrated it.
Right.
you know, and it's like, because they weren't. I never, like, the first time I ever, it's, you know, heard, you know, experienced it with, you know, hearing people, you know, judge somebody else, it was like, it made no sense.
Right.
Because it was like, why would you do that? You know, and I just thought that was great. Like, when we were kids, we would go to, you know, I was raised Catholic, and we would go to Mass. Like, we'd be traveling to Florida, and we'd go to churches where we'd be the only white people. And this is where they were bombing churches during the 60s.
Right.
And it was like, it was, yeah, it was never thought about. You know, it was like, it was just, this is what we do. And, you know, no one was seen as an other. No one was, you know, there wasn't, no one was seen as different. And I really thank them for that, because that really taught me to just be accepting. And, you know, as Martin Luther King said, you know, judging people by the contents of their character, not the color of their skin.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I grew up learning.
Yeah. What should we do with 1 minute? Well, I'd like
talk
to
talk about
say,
Sally Wood.
Yeah, Sally Wood isn't out yet, but hold the thought that it will be soon, and I'll make you laugh and cry. I want you all, if you haven't already, to check out msia.org and just browse and find all the goodies that are there spiritually. They can send you a book for free, Journey of the Soul. And I've been involved 50 years, and I wouldn't do one day without it. Yeah. So thank you, Kevin, and God bless
you
all
Sally.
Out there. Okay.
I love you very much.
I love you.